श्री गणेशाय नमः। ॐ श्री सरस्वत्यै नमः। ॐ श्री गुरुभ्यो नमः। सच्चिदानन्दरूपाय विश्वोत्पत्यादिहेतवे तापत्रयविनाशाय श्रीकृष्णाय वयं नुमः। श्रीकृष्णाय वयं नुमः। वसुदेवसुतं देवं कंसचाणूरमर्दनं देवकी परमानन्दं कृष्णं वन्दे जगद्गुरुं। कृष्णं वन्दे जगद्गुरुं। मूकं करोति वाचालं पङ्गुं लङ्घयते गिरिं। यत्कृपातमहं वन्दे परमानन्दमाधवं परमानन्दमाधवम्। ॐ वाङ् मे मनसि प्रतिष्ठिता, मनो मे वाचि प्रतिष्ठितम्। आविराविर्मेधी वेदस्य महानिस्थः। श्रुतं मे मा प्राहासीहि अनेनाधीतेन अहोरात्रान् संदधामि। हृदं वदिष्यामि सत्यं वदिष्यामि तन्माम् अवतु तद्वक्तारमवतु। अवतु माम् अवतु वक्तारमवतु वक्तारम्। ॐ शान्ति शान्तिः शान्तिः। सदाशिवसमारम्भां शङ्कराचार्यमध्यमाम् अस्मदाचार्यपर्यन्तां वन्दे गुरुपरम्परां श्रुतिस्मृतिपुराणानाम् आलयं करुणालयं। नमामि भगवत्पाद शङ्करं लोकशङ्करं शङ्करं शङ्कराचार्यं केशवं बादरायणं। सूत्रभाष्यकृतौ वन्दे भगवन्तौ पुनः पुनः। ईश्वरो गुरुरात्मेति मूर्तिभेदविभागिने व्योमवद्व्याप्तदेहाय श्रीदक्षिणामूर्तये नमः। श्रीदक्षिणामूर्तये नमः। श्रीदक्षिणामूर्तये नमः। श्रीकृष्ण गोविन्द हरे मुरारे हे नाथ नारायण वासुदेवा। जिह्वे पिबस्वामृतमेतदेव गोविन्द दामोदर माधवेति। हे कृष्ण हे यादव हे सखेति। हे कृष्ण हे यादव हे सखेति। हे कृष्ण हे यादव हे सखेति। So in the last episode, we were looking at shloka number 43. We read the shloka number or verse number 44 also. So we'll get straight into the 43rd verse first. Just and complete this before moving on to the 44th, which we also read last time basically, but we couldn't get into the explanation of that. So Bhagwan says in 43rd verse, I will read actually 42 and 43 together and give you just the gist before I move on to the 44th. Bhagavan says in the 42nd verse, Yamimam pushpitam vacham pravadantya vipaschitah vedavadarataf partha nanyadastiti vadinah kamatmanas swargapara janma karma falapradam kriya vishesha bahulam bhogaishwarya gatim prati. So from the 42nd verse, Bhagwan is talking about those people who give very decorated statements about what? About karma, about action. that there is nothing else to worry about in this life. Just focus on action. Action will give you everything. Now, you know, just remember one thing. When I talk about those people who talk about these decorative statements, another thing I wanted to bring out also there is, they are very, very proficient in language. Now, remember one thing. In why they are able to give you a decorated statement, because their command over language is very good. Because their command over language is very good, they are able to create it, the whole story around action, and give you all kind of explanations which sounds very convincing. That is why Bhagwan used the word yamimam pushpitam vacham. They decorated in such a way because their command over language is so good that they can create different words. They can, you know, come up with very different words, new words and all, to make you explain in those aspects of action. And they will push you in such a way that you will also feel, yeah, what he is saying is correct, you know. I just wanted to highlight one thing here, which is why I brought this together now again also, because it's a completion, 42nd, 43rd and 44th verse. Now, when I say about, you know, those people are, they have got good command over language. Now, one thing I want to just bring out here is command over language. Language is just a medium of communication. Remember that, huh? But, you know, the world has changed so much. The more somebody has got command over language, we start thinking that that has become the definition of being educated. Now, for us, educated now becomes what person can speak, you know, good English, he can speak, has got good command over language, you know, has can explain things very well. Now, remember one thing, language is just a mode of communication, a method of communication. Language itself doesn't bring out knowledge. Knowledge is something else. But yes, knowledge of language is required because you will study subjects in some language only. But the trend which has become now is that the more command somebody has got on language, they think that, you know, that person is very educated. But I'm sorry, that's not the case here. Bhagwan says, you know, they have very good command over language. They can communicate very well. They can, through communication, inspire people, or through communication, push people. Either ways, I'll call it. Okay, their command is very good, so they can explain it in different ways. They will decorate their words in such a way that the people who walk out of their session, they will feel that, you know, irrespective of what I've learned in my life, I think the whole life is waste now. What that person is saying is absolutely correct. And yes, I think we do not need to worry about anything. Action is the only thing. Action is the ultimate. And also another thing is, not only action is the ultimate, action can give us the ultimate. They will prove you that way. Because of that, they have got good name. And you know, these days I can use this word, which is, I do not know how it has become the benchmark. They say that, you know, more followers you have that, that's the, you know, more, much better you are, or you are, your content is very good if you have more followers. I do not know what that means, but I'm not coming into that dissection of that portion at all. But the thing is that, you know, a follower can never become a benchmark. Why? Because, you know, if you just open these days social media, followers, I do not know, many people I heard, they even buy followers also, by the way. I do not know how it works, but that's not my point here. But because of the way they decorated their command over the language, the beauty of the way they present the things in that, at on that for forum and platforms, of course, one thing which they get is that they definitely get Aishwarya. Aishwarya means popularity. That is definitely there. And since they also get popularity, the people who follow them also feels that, you know, they have got popularity, so I'm sure what they're saying is right also. But that cannot become the benchmark there. Anyway, we'll come to the knowledge part, you know, coming forward there. So Bhagwan says, Yamimam Pushpitam Vacham Pravadanti. They speak such beautiful word with such good English. You know, if you open channels now, oh, the debates which are going on in the news and all of them have got good command over language. But language itself does not guarantee knowledge to you. I do not know, the communication, it's just a method or mode of communication alone. You can communicate, yes, definitely yes. But remember one thing, the sannyasis and mahatmas who know the truth, With many of them, they don't even come out to teach. Why? Because they don't see any purpose in that. They only see a purpose in establishing in that self and becoming one with that self. For them, these other things doesn't matter. Rare few of them, amongst the Mahatmas and Sannyasis, they come out in the world to help people, because that's what God wants from them. So technically, I will use one word here. Some of those Mahatmas, or some of those Sannyasis who become Mahatmas, they may also have command over language, but their command over language is used for the purpose or the work of God. Why? Because this knowledge is not available easily. So some of those Sannyasis and Mahatmas, God only gives them the willpower to just come out. God only gives them the prerna. God only gives them the motivation. God only pushes them that you just come out of the whole thing. That's that you can become one of the reason for spreading the knowledge also. Their command over language is used to spread knowledge. So, those people who do not have that complete knowledge, their command over language, I do not know what is going to do for, you know, for themselves also, for others also. So Bhagwan says, Arjun, see, these are the, you know, people, they say, avipaschitaha. They, according to me, they have not understood life at all. They don't know the purpose of life also. Avipaschitaha. Veda vadarataha. They may quote because they have command over language also, and they have read here and there Vedas also. They do the copy paste job of, you know, putting something from somewhere and attaching it somewhere and all those things. You know, remember one thing, this whole Vedanta is not just a PowerPoint presentation that, you know, you can just attach it from somewhere, put it somewhere else and, you know, showcase it in that way. It is a deep subject. Somebody needs to sit under a guru at the lotus feet of a guru to actually align with the sadhana of the guru also, and they themselves should also have some sadhana for them to grasp this deep and subtle subject. So Bhagwan says in the, you know, coming verses there, Arjun, so they are the people, Veda Vadarata Partha, Na Anyad Asti Iti Vadina, and they will strongly propagate that, you know, apart from action, nothing else is there. Now, how are those people? Bhagwan explains in the 43rd verse, which we picked up last time, they are Kamatmanaha. They have at the locus or center of everything, their earth, what is at the locus and center of everything for them, every action for them, kama. Kama means desire. The only purpose why they act in this world, in this life, and the only goal for them is to fulfill their desires. Kama atmanah. You know, Bhagwan Shankaracharya ji uses one word here. Kama atmanah. Kama swabhavah. Kama para iti artah. Bhagwan Shankaracharya says, kama atmanah are who? At the soul, their swabhav, at the nature, soul means not exactly the self here, huh? At the center of their nature, where they are kama swabhava, they have only come here to fulfill their desire. Desire is at the locus, at the center of every action they do. Kama para iti artaha, for them ultimate is action. Now that's kapara means, para means which is beyond. So ultimate for them is action. For them, nothing else is there. Action alone is everything, because action becomes one of the reason for them to fulfill their desires. Now, remember one thing. When Bhagwan is saying all these things, please don't misunderstand this at all. Bhagwan is not putting down action at all. He is not saying action doesn't do this. Huh? Don't take that meaning at all. Bhagwan says definitely yes. If you are focused on action, action will give you, will help you to fulfill your desire. But is that your ultimate goal in life? You may have fulfilled your desire. I'll use one word here. You may have fulfilled your desire, maybe, you know, for 30, 40 years of your life. Yes, you may have fulfilled your desire. And action may have helped you to fulfill your desire. But what next? What is there after that? 50 years you may have fulfilled your desire. Yes, that's true. You may have got comfort from them. You may have got bhoga and aishwarya, which Bhagwan is going to talk about also. In the coming verse also he's talking about touching that thing here also. You may have get all those things. He's not putting down action. Action will give you this thing, no doubt about it. But then there is a very big disadvantage of focusing on that. You will lose the highest thing which you can achieve using your human life, that you will miss out. So technically, you may get immediate fulfillment of desires. Yes, you may get immediate comfort. You may get immediate luxury. You may get at, you know, even power, so to say, outside. You may have a powerful position to achieve. But is that enough? At the end of it, when I look at the whole life picture, when I look at the whole life of that person, ultimately, he has actually lost only. He has not gained anything in life. He may have immediate desire fulfillment, definitely yes, but immediate desire fulfillment cannot be my ultimate goal of life. I have become a human not only for fulfilling my immediate desires and my immediate needs. There is a much bigger objective in life. That bigger objective of life, these people can just completely forget about it. And at the end of this, I'll use one word the way we use it in accounting. When we use their, you know, we create their balance sheet, they will be at a complete net loss. Gross profit they may have got. I'll use this way for those of you who can understand accounting. Gross profit they may have got, that, you know, immediate gains, you know, one time, 1 year you gained, the another year you lost. Okay, sometimes you fulfill your desire, sometimes some desires left aside, sometimes desire fulfillment did not happen also, but some of the desires were fulfilled, some of them were not fulfilled also. Yes, at the end of the day, gross profit may have been there, but if we really create the balance sheet of their life, they are at net loss. And remember, at the end of the life, I'm using the same accounting example, you know, you may shift the company, you may close down the company and create a new one. I'm talking about the body here. If I take this body as one unit, you may just shut down this unit, or, you know, at the end when somebody dies, they may shut down this unit and they go somewhere else. But this body is such that that net loss which you had, it will continue in the next life. You will have, even if you create a new balance sheet in next life, it will always start from that loss which is carried forward. You know, when we create a new balance sheet, and then at the end of the year, whatever is there, probably net profit or net loss, in the next year balance sheet, we start with the thing that, you know, carried forward balance, whether it is net loss or net profit. In the same way, life also functions that way. In the next life, they will continue start with the same net loss which they have incurred in this life. So technically, immediate fulfillment, gross profit may have been there, but at the end of it, they are at net loss. They did not achieve what they came here to achieve. And Bhagwan says what? Swarga para. How, what is their ultimate? What is the maximum they can see? Bhagwan says swarga para. For them, the ultimate to achieve in life from all these action is swarga. Swarga means heaven here. Okay? And which I've already explained. Swarga, and you know, I'll explain and take it through Bhagwan Shankaracharya's Bhashya also, side by side here. Bhagwan says swarga para what? Swarga para purushartha yeshamte swarga para. For whom the ultimate achievement is heaven. Now I will split this kind of people into two parts. Okay. There are many people who do not have enough faith in the afterlife. I'm using the word afterlife. Why? Because when I use the word heaven, heaven is definitely going to be after this life. So there are some set of people who do not have enough faith for afterlife. They say that, you know, no, this life is the only thing. I don't have faith in the next life. So whatever I want to get, whether heaven also, it should happen in this life only. And they work hard. Now, for them, for those kind of people who do not have enough faith in the afterlife and they do not consider heaven as the ultimate, you know, they do not have enough faith for the next heaven, they want to achieve everything, or they, for them, the life will be what? They will try to make their this life as heavenly as possible. As heavenly as possible means they will try to gain everything in this life itself, be it luxury, you know, that's why I use the word. And their whole life goes in trying to make what situation? I'll use one word which I think I used in the last session also. Oh, that, you know, for them, life is what situation. When you are happy, it's a situation. When you are sad, it's a situation. You have a house, it's a situation. You have many cars, it's a situation. You have a good job, it's a situation. Paristhiti, we call it. Paritahasthiti, which is around you. And because for them, situation becomes everything, their life becomes situational. They are only tackling situation by situation. They are only tackling, for them, for some of them, happiness is what? oh, if I have a huge bungalow, that is what my definition of happiness is all about. If I have, you know, 6-7 cars standing in my fleet, and you know, they are all like super luxury cars, that's my definition of you know, happiness. If I have enough bank balance, that is the definition of my happiness. If I have, you know, not only bank balance, if I have what you call it, that I have investments in fixed deposits, and I have investment in, you know, mutual funds and all, the bigger the balance, the more secured I feel about my life. For that is also a situation. You have money, you may not have money, that's also a situation. And for some people, a good job, a good position is the ultimate. That's heaven for me. So they will try and strive for that particular thing, and they will work hard towards that, and they will get it. But ask these people, those people who said that, no, for me, one bungalow is enough. You got a bungalow now. Have you achieved what you wanted to achieve? They will say that life is at the same place. You have 6-7 cars. Have you achieved what you wanted to achieve? Do you feel fulfilled? No, the answer is not there, because they are trying to do immediate firefighting. They are only managing situation by situation. Now, they don't understand one thing, that this situation is only one part, small part of life. And they keep changing. Good will come, good won't stay for long, bad will also come. But you cannot spend your whole life managing situations. Your life is not meant to just firefight with these situations. You are not a fireman. You are not here to just fight through the situations. You are not here to just fight for the situation. There is a bigger objective which is left there in the busyness of firefighting through these situations, or trying to build situations good or conducive for that person. They end up spending their whole life in these situations. But then we need to remember, a person will retire at the end. What will he do after that? What is going to happen? The whole life went in situation. That age is not, or you know, you are not apt enough to get to this knowledge and all, because you didn't do enough practice in the beginning. You have to contribute brick by brick towards your spiritual life. That is the reason I keep saying in the group which I run for the podcast listeners also, and also to all the listeners here, all the students who come for the class also, that please remember, situation making or building a situation cannot be your ultimate goal. There is a bigger objective which is there in the life. You know, the sooner you get this, you will start building. Congratulate those people, so young people from school and colleges, when they come and ask me questions, and they are in the group also. I definitely congratulate them. Why? That, you know, it's very good. It's God's grace that they have been able to start this journey early in life, because they have already start to put brick by brick their own mansion of spirituality for them. That when they grow old, they will be in a very well-protected environment. So what? Whether they achieve in this life, that is not important to know. That is God's grace. Let God decide that. But at least they have built something for themselves in this life. They have not wasted this life in managing situation. Bhagwan says, Swarga paraha, swarga para purushartha. For them, the ultimate objective, ultimate goal in life is heaven alone. Swarga. Achieving heaven. And I told you, the first kind of people, for them, they will build everything to make this life heavenly. Whether it is, you know, a bungalow, whether it is car, whether it is a good job, whether it is a position, you name it, a good family, whatever you can name it, they will try to do that. And there are second set of people who are not such thing. They definitely have faith in the afterlife also. So for them, the action will be divided into two portions. What? They will definitely want to achieve things in this life also, but they will keep aside some for the next life. Okay. The first kind of people, whatever they earn, whatever they, you know, inherit here or whatever, they will only spend that for themselves and their own immediate people. Remember one thing, the reason I'm saying this, there is a bigger portion. I said in one of my talk of Srimad Bhagavat, the spiritual secrets of Srimad Bhagavat, that, you know, whatever we earn, a portion of it should definitely be invested to earn punya. Punya means to earn merit. Remember, because whatever you earn here, from that only you can and generate punya. So one of the part of our earning should definitely go to earn punya. Why? Because I use that word in the Srimad Bhagavat, the spiritual secret of Srimad Bhagavat, that punya only goes with us life after life. And I gave a couple of examples there also. I'm not repeating it here. So, you know, there are many things which we get out of our punya only. Like I gave you one example, which I can give you now here also. We get, we got good, you know, parents in life. We didn't buy them. We didn't spend money to buy them. We got it from our punya only. And we got a good, you know, couple life, like a husband and wife life. We got a good husband. We got a good wife. We got good children. They are all part of our punya only. And another thing I'll tell you, one thing very important. Without punya, you cannot reach self-knowledge at all. You reached a guru. You reached a self-knowledge, you know, camp. You reached a self-knowledge class. It is not possible that it is without punya. With punya only you reach there. But the problem is, man understands the power of money, but they fail to understand the power of punya. You know, merit, we have to use our earning to, you know, one portion of our earning to earn merit also. You know, everything can't be taken to the next life. Whatever money you earn here, whatever currency you earn here, you can't, it can't go to you, go with you to the next life. There is another currency which works there. There are another currency which is going to work in the next life also. Some people are born in a very rich family. Some people are born in a very comfortable environment. How? It's part of their punya only. So their punya plays a bigger role than money. But unfortunately, the problem is in today's world, people don't understand and the power of punya. They only understand the power of money. And I used one word there. You know, money can't buy any everything. Now, I'll use one example. If you have money, then go and buy a guru. Reach a guru yourself. Try. You can't do it. So, you know, we must think through this very carefully, that some portion of whatever we earn, whatever we inherit, should definitely be spent in earning punya. And I think I said that in the group also. How do you earn punya? By, you know, donating to temple, by donating for religious functions, by, you know, donating for the spread of knowledge of Sanatan Dharma. These are the ways of earning punya. But Bhagwan says, these people, the second set of people are those who have got faith in the next life, afterlife. So they spend some part of their earning in, you know, ensuring luxury and ensuring comfort around them for this life. But some part of it, they put it for the next life because they have a goal that they want to earn Swarga in the next life. They don't want to fall into hell or anywhere. So they contribute towards that. So Bhagwan says, is te swarga paraha, swarga paraha, swarga pradhanaha. For them, the ultimate, the first set of people, their ultimate is action and luxury and comfort around them, making a heaven in this life itself. For these second set of people, their ultimate is swarga pradhanaha. Their ultimate goal is swarga. Why are you doing all these things? Because listen to me very carefully. Whether I get it in this life or not doesn't matter. But in the next life, I definitely want Swarga. After this life, I want heaven. I want to reach there. Now, Bhagwan and Shankaracharya ji says, he uses the word, because Bhagwan Krishna also uses there, Kamatmana Swarga Para. How is all these things and all these action, Janma Karma Falapradam? What it will lead you to? It will lead you to a next life. It's not going to free you from life at all. Why? You have done an action. Okay. Now, maybe most of the part or some part of the action, what you have done and whatever fruit you get, you will enjoy here. But all of that you can't enjoy here. So some will go into the next life for definitely sure, because every action, by the time you are here, everything may not give you result also. I'm giving you a very small example. Some people will, you know, give you mutual fund or anything and they tell you that, you know, it will mature in this much period of time. Okay. Now, God forbid if you are not there during that period of time, whosoever is the next, they will earn it. But the earning will come in a particular period of time. That's how the, you know, fruit of action also works. When you do an action, everything you may not get here. You may get some part of it in the next life itself. As I told you, most of the things which we are you know, enjoying here or facing here is coming from our past life. Now, this life, most of the things we are doing, it's going to go into the next life. So Bhagwan says, Janma Karma Falapradam. It's going to lead you into what? A next life. You will go and take birth again. Why? Because you have done the action. Now you have to be born to face the result or bear the fruit of that action also. Because the action has started from you. It's not that you do the action and somebody else will face the result. It doesn't work like that in the cosmic law. In the cosmic law, it's very clear. If the action has started from you, you only will have to come and bear the fruit of that action. So all these action, kamatmana, the people who are you know, whose center is desire fulfillment, and the people who are swargapara, who has got or heaven as the ultimate goal, whatever action they do, it will lead them into what? Janma karma phalapradam. They will lead you into another life. Now, Bhagwan says, Bhagwan Shankaracharya explains here, karmanah phalam karma phalam. What is a karma phalam? What is the fruit of an action? Whatever action you have done, the fruit of that is called karma phala. Okay, that's very simple. Now, karma phalam. Janma eva karma phalam. Now, all these actions, ultimate fruit is what? So, how beautifully Bhagwan Shankaracharya ji says here. Janma eva karma phalam. Your ultimate fruit of every action you have done is what? Is going to lead you into a next life. Full stop. That is your ultimate karma phala. Janma karma phalam tat pradadati. These actions, what is going to do? It is going to lead you into a next birth. That fruit it's going to give you. Iti janma karma phala prada. Ta vacham pravadanti iti anushajyate. You know, these are the kind of words which those people which Bhagwan explained in the last verse, 42nd verse, who got command over language, who uses quotes from in between from Vedas, who used decorated, language, decorated words and decorated things to, lead to you. Janma karma pradhan. Ta va, tam vacham pravadanti iti anushajyate. No, these kind of people, they talk these kind of things, these kind of actions, they prompt you, push you into these kind of actions, which is going to lead you into a next life. Now, remember one thing I told you in the past podcast also, the one thing which goes with you life after life, if in a continuity, is spiritual knowledge or the knowledge about yourself. Yourself means the self. I'll use the word. The spiritual knowledge or Adhyatma Vidya we call it. It is going to go life after life with you. All the other knowledge streams which you gain, which you who work hard and achieve here, they will have to be left here. Why? In the next life, you are going to start from again A for apple and B for bat. You will go to KG or nursery or pre-nursery or whatever XYZ, you will have to go through all the streams of your studies and your college and everything. Yes, if some knowledge becomes a very, very deep vasana for you, very few aspects of that knowledge may remain as traces in your nature, which you may benefit in next life. But there is a may. Okay. That depends completely on the structure of your antakarana, your purity and many other things. That's the reason I'm using the word may. It's not a default thing. But adhyatma vidya or the spiritual science or the spiritual knowledge, wherever you have left, when the right time in next life comes, it will open from where you left in the last life. You have to continue from there only. You don't have to go from the beginning. That's the beauty how Bhagwan has created. Why? Because actually speaking, spiritual knowledge is at the core of all of us. Remember, all the other worldly sciences are not the core of us. I can use the word chemistry, physics and all those things. They are not the core of us. They are only one portion of this creation. But this spiritual knowledge is actually the core of all of us. That is why it is kept in such a way in the cosmic law that the spiritual knowledge continues life after life. So that's the reason I used the word earlier. You know, those people who have come young into spiritual sciences, I say that, you know, I congratulate them. Why? Because they are putting brick by brick in this life itself, and they only will have to move into that whatever spiritual home they are creating in this life, they only in the next life will have to move. That's all. Rest of the thing they may have done. You know, that is how the spiritual knowledge works. Anyway, Bhagwan says, Janma Karma Phala Pradham. Now, how is this Kriya Vishesha Bhaulham? And these are going to what? क्रिया विशेष बहुलाम भगवान शंकराचार्य जी एक्सप्लेन्स हियर क्रियाणाम विशेषा क्रिया विशेषा एंड दे विल लीड यू इनटू व्हाट पर्टिकुलर 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 एक्शन. नाउ देर आर सो मेनी वर्ल्डली यू नो साइंसेज एंड स्ट्रीम्स हियर. देर आर सो मेनी वर्ल्डली पोजिशंस हियर. देर आर सो मेनी वर्ल्डली अचीवमेंट्स हियर. एवरी पर्टिकुलर अचीवमेंट एवरी पर्टिकुलर पोजिशन every particular result you get in this world, they need you to do a particular kind of action. For example, I give you an example. A CEO in a company is designated to do a certain kind of action. A vice president or a, you know, a vice president of a particular unit. Now remember, CEO is supposed to oversee the entire company operation. But below him, whatever a vice president or group president of a particular department is, his responsibility is only for that particular department, for that line of work. Okay. So in the same way, now CEO has got a you know, oversee of the whole company. Now why I'm using the word CEO here? That CEO has got the responsibility of that company alone, that company and its operation. Another company CEO will have a responsibility of his company's action. Their product line may be completely different. So their action is according to their product line, according to their definition. The another CEO's work is according to his product line and his designation, his work arena. And below that CEO, whosoever has got, you know, one particular line, department's and head or group president or whatever, that person will have his action lined up according to his particular field. So that is what is meant by kriya vishesha bahulam. There are many, many particular fields like that, depending upon the action, depending upon the position, depending upon what you want to achieve in life. So he says kriyanam visheshaha kriya vishesha. Vishesha means particular here. Particular or specific here. So kriyanam visheshaha kriya vishesha. ते बहुला यस्याम वाची ताम स्वर्ग पशु पुत्राद्यार्थः यया वाचा बाहुल्येन प्रकाश्यन्ते. नो वेरी ब्यूटीफुल लाइन भगवान शंकराचार्य जी सेज. आई केम बैक टू दिस श्लोका बिकॉज ऑफ दिस कमेंट्री ओनली ऑफ भगवान शंकराचार्य बिकॉज आई डिडंट पिक इट अप इन द लास्ट सेशन. भगवान सेज क्रिया विशेषा ते बहुला यस्याम वाची ताम. Now, these people who propagate action, who, you know, or these decorated words they use for action, who push people into action or who recommend action as the ultimate, how is their actual wordings? Yasyam vachi tam swarga pashu putra adi artha. Now, their achievement will reach where? Swarga, heaven. Pashu means animal. Animal here means, you know, you have all the kind of assets, you call it actually. Putra means you have, no, putra means here two things we can talk about. Putra means definitely family and lineage, expansion of family and lineage, that I am my children, grandchildren, and they can see that. So Bhagwan says, Yasyam vachi tam swarga pashu putra adi artha yaya vacha bahulyena prakashyante. Now remember one thing. Their maximum approach is what? Your achievement. Bhagwan Shankaracharya has put in three lines here. Swarga, heaven. They will lead you to heaven. Pashu means it will lead you into assets. Pashu, in those days, they used to call it, you know, the number of horses, the elephants, and, you know, other things they have. You know, those people who grow cow at home, there, how many cows you have and all those things. So Pashu, that means there. Here, you know, in today's world, you can talk about what I just mentioned a few minutes before, that, you know, how many cars you have in your garage, how many houses you have, you know, what is your investment span, what is your investment and depth, you know, those things you can put it there. Putra means here actually, what is your standing of the family, you know, what is your lineage, you know, do you have children, you have grandchildren, you know, you have, what is your expansion of the family, you know. And another thing also, I will use one word for putra here, and in today's parlance I'm going to add that here, which I just mentioned few minutes before, how many followers you have. You can put that also here because I can't and put them somewhere else here. So, putra adi artha yaya vacha bahulyena prakashyante. They will It'll, you know, enlighten you to achieve all these things in many, many different ways. Bahulyena prakashyante, in many, many different ways. You do this, you will get that. If you don't do this, you won't know, you will suffer throughout the life. If you do this, your life is luxury. You just need to sit back and relax. You do this and all those kind of things. Now, Bhagwan uses one word. You know, Arjun, what is their gati? Bhagwan uses in the last portion of this verse, Bhoga Aishwarya Gatim Prati. It's according to Bhagwan, it is going to lead them into, gati means ultimate achievement, ultimate goal, ultimate achievement, I'll use the word. Ultimate result of them is what? Bhoga Aishwarya. Now, which I used last time, there are two kind of results which comes from action and for any action which you look at. What? One is, there are some people who only want to build comfort and luxury around them. Bhoga. It is at the level of your body. Okay, bhoga. There are some people who definitely want comfort and luxury. There are some people who only want comfort and luxury. They have got really selfish interest that, you know, I should have a comfortable and luxurious life. I don't care about anything else. And such people, they will definitely work hard and they will be able to create a luxurious environment for them. But that is the ultimate for them. So that's one part of the thing. There are certain other kind of people who don't stop themselves at comfort and luxury. They have a desire to get power also. You know, comfort and luxury is okay. But comfort and luxury is of what use? If people don't respect me, if I don't have a fan following, if, you know, I don't walk out of my bungalow or my house and there is not a big crowd waiting to cheer me up, what is the use of such a kind of a luxury and all? And, you know, these things you will see, you know, especially the artists and all, for them, their, you know, ultimate focus becomes this way also, that I should have a big fan following, I should have so many million followers and all those kind of things. The follower is a very big trap, by the way. Now, the best part about it is, you know, I can and go on and talk, but I don't want to bring it up here. Where, you know, Bhagwan says, Arjun, their gati, their ultimate achievement is split into two parts, bhoga and aishwarya. Either it will lead them into comfort and luxury, or it will ultimately lead them into power. Power is political also, that way. You need to remember that. There is like bureaucratic power also. There are like, you know, political powers also. What to talk about? I'll bring up one example here. For some people, I don't know, they have such lackadaisical thought process, such a lacking in, you know, vision, that they end up misusing their power, which is just a temporary feature in this life. The power is also not permanent. How can somebody think that this position is going to remain with me ever in my life? Okay, and I'm just telling you one example. Even if the power remains with you and, you know, unfortunately you end up losing the life, if, you know, before you lose the power, I'm just giving you an example, hypothetical example. What will happen in the next life? This power is not going to go with you. Remember one thing, all these bhoga, aishwarya, everything is only temporary for this particular life. Now, some people become so much caught up in this power and all, they start to, you know, trouble other people with their power. They start to misuse their power to put down other people, you know, and innocent people also. I can give you so many examples. So many people have come to me, you know, asking that, you know, I have done nothing, but I do not know why some officer is troubling me. And they are just misusing their power. I have so many examples to talk about that, but, you know, I can't bring up all of them here. But I'm just saying, for some people, the power goes into their head so much that, you know, they start misusing that thing. They think that that is permanent with them, but they don't understand. Even bhoga, aishwarya, both of them are temporary. It's only for this particular life. And Bhagwan says, Arjun, bhoga, aishwarya, gatim prati. It's only going to lead them into bhoga and aishwarya. Bhagwan Shankaracharya ji explains this line here. He says, bhogaishwarya gatim prati, bhogah cha aishwaryam cha bhogaishwarye. Bhoga and aishwarya, they are split into two parts. Tayo gatihi praptihi, when somebody achieves or you know reaches that particular result, what they achieve, that is called Bhogaishwarya Gatihi. You know, Bhoga Aishwarya Tayo Gatihi. When they achieve or when they get the result of Bhoga and Aishwarya, when they achieve that thing, that is called Bhogaishwarya Gatihi. Tam prati sadhana bhuta ye kriya visheshah tad bahulam tam vacham pravadanto moodah samsare parivartante iti abhipraya. Bhagwan says, Bhogeshwar Gati, tam prati sadhana bhuta, and those people, the yamimam pushpitam vacham, which Bhagwan explained, expounded in the 42nd verse, those people, they will give you enough sadhana. Sadhana means enough efforts. They will explain you enough kind of you know, penance you should do to achieve that. Tam prati sadhana bhuta, whatever efforts you put through, which will they'll explain, ye kriya vishesha tad bahulam, they are split into many different actions. Bahula means many, many different action, and they are split into particular actions. Tam vacham pravadanto mudaha, these are the kind of words, mudaha means fools here. Bhagavan Shankaracharya ji says, those fools who do not have clear vision of life, those who do not have clear understanding of life, those who do not have understanding of themselves and their final goal in life, samsare parivartante iti abhiprayah, and they themselves also rotate in this life and death, in this world of life and death, and they will put others also to circle in this you know, world of life and death. That is what those kind of people are. Bhagwan puts that up there. Now we'll go into the next verse which we read last time, but we'll read it again now. Now Bhagwan takes this Bhogeshwarya Gatim Prati, these kind of people, into the next level. You know, I've told you in some of the sessions also, one of the best commentary on Bhagavad Gita is Bhagavad Gita itself. Bhagwan has so beautifully expounded every topic, expanded every topic, that he has never left any stone unturned to explain you what he's talking about. Now those the verses he started from 42nd onwards, Yamimam Pushpitam Vacham, Bhagwan is concluding at this 44th verse with the final conclusion, what happens to these kind of people. He says, Bhogaishwarya Prasaktanam Tayapahruta Chetasam Vyavasayatmika Buddhihi Samadhau na vidhiyate. Bhogaishwarya prasaktanam tayapahruta chetasam vyavasayatmika buddhihi samadhau na vidhiyate. Now Bhagwan says, these people who are kamatmanah swargapara, as explained in verse number 43, the shloka number 43, whose action are only leading them into birth and birth after birth, and they lead into different kriya vishesha bahulam, their gati is what, final result is what, bhoga and aishwarya. And I explained to you, bhoga and aishwarya is split into two parts there. Now Bhagwan says, how is their intellect, what happens to them internally with that kind of behavior, with that kind of choice of, you know, oh, kamatmanah swargapara and all, what happens to them? Bhagwan says, Bhoga Aishwarya Prasaktanam. Prasaktanam word means Prakarshena Saktanam. Prakarshena Saktanam means they are very, very deeply attached. Prakarshena means it is to show the intensity of their attachment. Saktanam means attached. Now remember one thing, attachment also means bondage, by the way. I'll explain you some other time, but just listen to this now. Attachment means what? My dependency on, my being dependent on someone, my dependency on someone, right? When you are dependent on someone for your happiness, as when you are attached to someone, you are dependent on your happiness for someone. So just think of this thing. Are you really free? When you are dependent on someone for your happiness, for your success, then you are bound. So Bhagwan says, how is their intellect? How is their antakkarana? Bhoga Aishwarya Prakarshena Saktanam. They are deeply attached and bound to this bhoga and aishwarya. I just gave you an example few minutes before in the last verse. There are people who have focus on power. We call them what? Power crazy or power hungry people. Then some people are luxury crazy or, you know, comfort crazy, luxury hungry or comfort hungry people, Bhoga Aishwarya. Now Bhagwan says, these people, what happens is, they become attached in their internal nature, they become attached to Bhoga and Aishwarya. Because of their attachment, what happens as a result? Bhagwan says, Taya apakhrita chetasam. Now that's a very beautiful word which Bhagwan says. You know, apaharan means kidnapped. I'll explain this word in two ways to you. Here, taya apakhrita chetasa means they get their intellect or their antakkarana gets robbed. Who are the robbers? Who are the thieves? Bhoga Aishwarya. Actually, the attachment or their prasakta towards Bhoga and Aishwarya, prasakta naam, their attachment, the deep attachment towards Bhoga and Aishwarya robs their intellect of what? Chetasam means here, you need to understand this clearly. Huh? They are robbed of knowledge and wisdom. Their knowledge and wisdom is robbed. Another way to look at this is that, you know, apahrut also means here, we can say, use the word, apaharan word you must have heard in Hindi. Apaharan means kidnapping. So their intellect or their knowledge and wisdom is kidnapped by Bhoga and Aishwarya. And that which is kidnapped is not available for you. Both ways you need to remember this thing. Ultimate meaning you need to understand, both your knowledge and wisdom remains unavailable for your usage, for your saving thing, for your or situations, it is unavailable. That is what is meant by Bhoga Aishwarya Prasaktanam. Now they are robbed, their intellect is robbed of knowledge and wisdom. Now remember one thing, when somebody is robbed or their knowledge is kidnapped, you will call them what? Ignorant. Because knowledge is gone. Knowledge is gone means what? It is not available for you. Right? The second thing is, when the wisdom is gone, then what we call them? They are into folly. Right? Use the word folly for them, no? Because of their intellect is gone and their wisdom is gone, it is not available for them at all. And we call them, what which Bhagwan used in the previous one, Mudaha. They go into, because their wisdom is no longer available for them, their actions will become what? Stupidous. It will be full of stupidity because their wisdom is not there. Taya aparhrita chetasam. Now Bhagwan explains in the next line, Vyavasayatmika buddhihi samadhau na vidhiyate. Such people, because they have their knowledge and wisdom is robbed. They are robbed of their knowledge and wisdom. Means what? Their understanding level has gone away. They can't understand things. That is why what? They do not get vyavasayatmika buddhi. They are not able to generate, they are not able to create within themselves. Vyavasayatmika buddhi means what? I use the word in the verse number, when Bhagwan used the word in 40 and 40, 41 actually, Vyavasayatmika buddhi says, it's defined as Nishchayatmika buddhi. They are not able to develop a firm conviction. They are not able to develop a firm knowledge about what? About the two things which Bhagwan elaborated, at, you know, from the verses itself, from 39 where he started to expound, the two things which he, what? Sankhya Buddhi and Yoga Buddhi. Now remember, Vyavasayatmika Buddhi means, since these people are robbed of their knowledge and wisdom, they are not able to develop Sankhya Buddhi. They are not able to gain an understanding of Sankhya, the subject of self. They are not able to develop an intellectual understanding of Yoga Buddhi, Karma Yoga. Because they are not able to develop Karma Yoga Buddhi, they will not be able to develop or move towards the Sankhya Buddhi. So technically, they are robbed or they are cheated in their life from their final objective. Samadhau na vidhiyate. Now one more thing I want to just explain you also here. Samadhau here doesn't mean samadhi. Bhagwan Shankaracharya ji has explained that word. Samadhau here shabd means antakkarana. I told you, in Sanskrit you always have to take the contextual meaning. Okay? You can't take the literal meaning of the word. You have to understand the context because one particular dhatu has got many, many different meanings. So here, samadhau means what? Actually, antakkarana. Samadhau na vidhiyate. It's not that they are not able to meditate. Please don't take that meaning at all. These people cannot meditate. Meditate comes afterwards. Forget about that right now. Meditation is, I'm not even talking about that. But here, that is not the meaning here. Samadhau here means antakkaranam, buddhihi. Matlab, they have got buddhi. They do not have their intellectual, their intellect available for them to gain or develop this knowledge, develop this understanding of the self. That is what is meant by samadhau na vidhiyate. So such people, because their knowledge and wisdom is gone, they do not have the ability to understand the self-knowledge. They do not have the ability to understand or even have faith in karma yoga. I told you, I'm repeating this thing here, that Bhagwan is not against action. Please understand this thing and please remove this misunderstanding from your mind. Bhagwan is not putting down action. Because if you take that meaning, then the other problem which happens is, if you take that meaning that Bhagwan is against action and you have not understood karma yoga, then the next possibility is that you will fall into inaction. Please don't do that. Please don't do that at all. That is not what Bhagwan means here. Bhagwan is not promoting inaction here. Please understand that. Bhagwan is definitely promoting action. But Bhagwan is saying what? He is saying action is a must. Because that is what keeps this entire creation going. Action we must do. Bhagwan is not pushing us into inaction at all. But Bhagwan says mere action is not enough. Mere action is what Bhagwan is refusing us to do. Bhagwan is pushing us not to do. Mere action will lead you into only these two results. Bhoga and Aishwarya. It will give you what? Janma, karma, falapradam. It will lead you into life after life. It will give you maximum, lead you into swarga. So Bhagwan says, Arjun, I am not telling you that action is ultimate. But the only thing is that I am not telling you that action is nothing at all. Don't do action. Don't please fall into inaction at all. I am telling you, mere action is not enough. If you do action, definitely yes, you will get these results. That's not, it's not that it is not going to come to you. You can see around, people have achieved results also. But Bhagwan is saying, it is not enough for you to lead your life. It is not enough for you to move ultimately in your life. It is not enough for you to actually make a progress in your life. And I told you what? Don't forget what I have taught you before. The progress I'm talking about is not the horizontal progress. Now remember one thing. Let me put that into the horizontal and vertical growth also. Bhagwan says, mere action will give you what? Horizontal progress. Definitely yes, it will give you. It will give you bhoga and aishwarya. And if you do not do action, or you do nishiddha karma, if you do inaction, or if you do wrong action, you will fall into the lower bracket of the horizontal. It will pull you down in the horizontally also. So that horizontal result, I am not discounting. I only told you that horizontal growth is also there. Vertical growth is also there. Definitely, yes, you may move from on the axis of X, the Y axis, you can move into the growth also. Doesn't matter. You will move. Definitely, yes. As horizontal growth will be there if you do action. But Bhagwan is saying, horizontal growth will lead you to maybe to the what? End of the y-axis, on the top of the y-axis. But is that enough? Next life you will again start from, the zero point, the median of the x and y-axis, the zero point. And, you will start from there. So Bhagwan is saying that is not enough of Arjun, that horizontal growth is not enough. If you have karma yoga buddhi, there also you remember, in karma yoga buddhi also you are doing action. But you are not doing mere action. karma yoga buddhi will along with, it's not that, you know, please remember one more thing, karma yoga buddhi doesn't mean that, you know, oh, I can move on either of the axis only, right? I can either move on y axis or I can move on x axis. No, that's not the case. When you plot a graph, when you plot points in the graph, of course you can move at the positive side of both x and y axis. So remember one thing, karma yoga is actually going to lead you into that. It's going to lead you into growth, grow vertically also and horizontally also. So you will grow on the y axis also, because the result of your action will definitely come to you. But the thing is, you will put inch by inch, you will grow on the vertical axis also. Vertical growth also you will put towards. That is why Bhagwan is propagating or expounding this fact. Arjun, remember, do karma yoga. And karma yoga, the moment you start doing karma yoga, it will start making you grow on the x axis. That's the first thing. And it will make you reach to a point after which karma yoga will drop you and the sankhya buddhi will start from there. Now remember, karma yoga, when you are doing karma yoga also, sankhya buddhi will go parallelly. But after a point in time, karma yoga buddhi will drop, karma yoga will drop from there and sankhya buddhi will take you forward, which is the ultimate level of the x-axis, which we call about. Now, Bhagwan says here, Arjun, this is what you need to understand about the action. Bhogaishwarya prasaktanam taya apahrita chetasam vyavasayatmika buddhihi samadhau na vidhiyate. These people, they will not get enough mental power at all, because their knowledge and wisdom is, they are already robbed of their knowledge and wisdom, or their knowledge and wisdom is already kidnapped. Now, one more thing I want to use the thing here before I move on. The one thing more you need to understand is, when I spoke about in the last session that there are people, when we talk about other religions, they, for them also, many of them, their ultimate is heaven, you know, or Jannat, and whichever way we call it. But when we call this heaven and all, remember one thing, heaven is also a situation. As I explained you in the previous verse, we are trying to build situation. Heaven is a situation, no? When we will get a new body, we cannot go with this body to the heaven. We'll get a new body and there will be situation around us of happiness, luxury and all. I've already explained you how Puja Gurudev explains heaven in the previous last two sessions. I've already explained you that. So heaven is also a situation. Now there are other kind of people. When these people, when they speak about swarga, when they speak about kama atmana, heaven being the ultimate and all, they do not have any knowledge or any understanding of this word called moksha. Remember, now moksha also I'm splitting there because I'm explaining this verse, so I'm just putting out here. When we talk to them, remember one thing, as I told you, even heaven is a situation. Even Jannat, for that matter of fact, is a situation. Those people who try to create heaven here, they're also trying to create situation around them, which gives them a comfort and luxurious life. If, position and everything is also situation only. Now, there are another set of people. Now, these people which I spoke about, they do not have anything called moksha. They have no understanding of moksha. They do not have a word about moksha. There are some other set of people also who accept moksha, who do talk about moksha. But for them, the level of moksha is what? At maximum level of moksha is Brahmaloka, Vaikuntloka, Saket Loka and all. Now I want to bring that out also. When those people also talk about moksha, their definition of moksha is also not complete. Okay? Moksha means realization here, ultimate realization when we talk about. So their definition of moksha is also not complete. Why? I use it now here. When we talk about Brahmaloka, now remember this thing, Brahmaloka is also a situation. Just think over it. In Brahmaloka, Brahmaji is there. All those people who have reached Brahmaloka, they are there. They have this situation around them. It is also a situation. Vaikunth Loka is also a situation. Now these people, their definition of moksha is maximum to Brahmaloka. And they cannot perceive about the actual definition of moksha, which Bhagwan Shankaracharya and Advaita Vedanta talks about. And that's called, there is an achievement, there is a realization which is situationless. There are no situation around you. Even though you exist, you as in, remember, huh? There the you is not individual you. Huh? The existence is there, but that existence is there without any situation around. And remember, without any situation around, existence is there and there is absolute bliss all the time. We use the word Anand Bharpur Hai Labalab. It's full of bliss. Full of bliss. But remember, when the situation, when you try to gain Ananda or when you try to gain happiness from situation, the moment situation goes, the happiness goes. Now remember, there is something called moksha realization. I'm only, you know, just guiding you through the final realization objective. What Bhagwan will also bring it up in the shloka from verse 55th onwards, when he brings that up about sthita prajna. There is this situation which is, there is this achievement which is situationless, where existence is there, but there are no situations. And there is bliss absolute all the time, because it is not dependent on any situation at all. It is situationless bliss. And that is what is called actual realization. Then Bhagwan will explain that at in the Sthita Pragya, as I told you. So remember, actual realization is this realization which is situationless and it is full of bliss with existence alone. Now remember, when I say existence alone, there is no mind, intellect or anything else there to grasp the situation and other things. You alone exist with absolute bliss. That is why in Vedant, they use this word for explaining in Brahman as Satyam Jnanam Anantam Brahma. It's coming from Taittiriya Upanishad. Taittiriya Upanishad explains Satyam Jnanam Anantam Brahma. It's like it's endless, as and it's full of bliss all the time. And there is no concept of time also. Time I'm saying because I am explaining in time. So I'm trying to explain, you know, whatever words you explain that reality is non-explainable, it's non-comprehensible. You can only reach there and experience it yourself. So that's the kind of realization and, you know, Bhagwan is talking about. And Bhagwan is taking Arjun away from the other kind of understanding. Don't get stuck up in Swarga and other things. Swarga is there. There is happiness. No doubt about it. But it's a limited period of time. About Swarga Loka also, in our scriptures, as it is said, Chine Punye Martya Lokam Vishanti. I'm sorry. Chine Punye. Once your Punya is over, the whosoever is there in the Swarga Loka, they will fall down into the Loka according to their own karmas, according to their own actions. But anyway, that is there to explain. And so remember this thing, this bliss is bliss absolute, without any situation around, without any, you know, paristhiti. It is just bliss absolute with your existence alone. And we will see remaining in the next session. Kayena vacha manasendriya irva buddhyatmana va prakrite swabhavat karomi adyat sakalam parasmai narayanayeti samarpayami shriman narayanayeti samarpayami om purnamadah purnamidam purnat purnamudachyate purnasya purnamadaya purnameva vashishyate om shanti 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 hi, Harihi Om, Shri Gurubhyo Namaha, Harihi Om, Mum Tat Sat.